Today on Compassion Radio.
What I passed, it was very hard. And when I accept Jesus as a Savior, I start to know my value in Jesus. How he saved me till this now. And a lot of people die in front of me and he saved me. How much he loved me. And he gave me a chance to live more, to serve him.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. A short time back, Bram spoke at length with Reverend Joseph Zorob, a man who pastors more than one church in Beirut. From an unbelievably violent childhood, to feeling but resisting the call of God as a young man, to the present day as a pastor, Joseph's exciting testimony will encourage you as you hear of God's faithfulness in his life. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to join us for part two of this conversation. Here's Bram.
You're back from doing a mission and you come back to your post.
Yes.
And then you have some time of rest.
I was sleeping, and usually in this time, a lot of rockets come there, but I didn't wake because for me this is a normal life.
Right.
And if I die, it's my turn now.
Right.
This is how I live my life.
Most soldiers that go through that many missions eventually get to that point, don't they, where it's like, if your number's up, your number's up.
Yes.
And you don't care anymore.
Yeah. Yes.
And yet God is still speaking to you. So what happened there?
And this night, I hear a very hard explosion, and I see all the soldiers are running, and I see my closest friend is running. And for me, if this guy is running, that means there's something dangerous, more than our expectation.
And more than normal.
Yes, okay. And I run and follow him, and I see that there's a putting explosion for us in a tank.
Tank is coming at you now?
There's a tank.
Okay.
And they put explosion in the tank. Some of the enemies come and put explosion in the tank, and it exploded.
So they blew up one of your own tanks?
Yes.
Okay.
And
so which means their people are inside the perimeter now?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a very high sound, voice, and the explosion, and it shakes the place.
Yeah.
And one of the soldiers who are sitting on the tank, he's like night shift. He fly from the pressure of the explosion. And there's another tank also near this burned tank. And all of people come together, about 200, 250 people. It's a big flat, and a lot of people come to stop the fire. And the officer called me, Joseph, please, let's put the cables and move the other tank because of the fire, because there's...
So nothing else blows up.
Yes. No, don't want to explode the others because a lot of rockets in it and...
Other ammunition inside there.
I'm laying down and put the cable, and I hear a very clear voice, Joseph, stand and leave here, this place now, there's another explosion.
Stand, say one more time.
He said, this sound was very clear.
Yes.
Joseph, stand from your place and leave now. There's another explosion.
So you're being warned by the Spirit of God himself to leave?
For me, I thought that there's a soldier calling me.
Okay.
But, you know, in this time, I can't understand if this is a soldier of God was calling me. But after that, I know that it was God.
Yeah. But during that time, though, you probably had fears about going insane, that you're hearing voices now.
Yes.
Okay.
And another time said, leave this place, please, because there's another explosion.
So God was telling you something was coming.
Yes. I stand up and run in my mind that there's some of the soldiers know me and they want me to leave the place. And it come to my mind, go back to the rooms, and if there's somebody asleep, wake him. Mm-hmm. I stand up and I am running, and I be like in the back of the first tank who are burned. Mm-hmm. And there was a very high wall, and I hear a very big explosion happen, more than the first one.
Okay.
And I look beside me and see like all the people dead.
All of them?
All of them dead.
So some big bomb has now been dropped
on
the compound.
Yes, it's full of nails, full of glasses. It's cut all the people. And when I look beside me, I was really scared. All the people dead, about 200, 250 people, all dead together. And I see the blood coming like a river. It was, you know, horrible. And I don't know what to do now. more depression, and I lost all my friends, all the people I know, and I start run to the streets, please somebody help me, no cars. And then the secret police come and they surround the place. And they stopped me. They thought that I did that because I am the only one still alive.
So I think you must have been an insider.
Yes. And they punished me for 3 days to pick the bodies. Just pick the head and see this head with which body, this leg for which one.
So they made you go back and reassemble bodies.
Yes. Yes, 3 days like that, and you know this make more.
And this isn't just doing a job as a mortuary. You're talking about your friends here.
Yes, yes, it's hurt me a lot, and I heard a lot of bad words, and they start asking me how you did that and how much money you take. But I didn't do that, and they arrest me for 3 days, just ask me questions, and one day. They decide to kill the person who did that because they know that he's a cheater from the soldiers.
So they're certain in their minds that
yes.
There must have been somebody on the inside helping the enemy.
Yes, and they must kill them very fast without judgment. This is the law in the army.
Right. Brush
and
the judgment.
That means me. They want to kill me. They must shoot me. And this time they put me in my room. And they surrounded me with the soldiers, and I was really crying my tears. And the first time I pray after all these years, I refused God. Said, Lord, if you help me this time, I will serve you and I will give you my life. And I repent in this time.
Say that one more time.
I repent.
You repented.
And I asked the Lord to help me. And I told him, if you help me, I will give all my life to you and I want to serve you. It's enough. I am tired. I am in a very hard situation. Maybe today I'm going to die.
Other than the fact that it would seem that someone who's under the stress of being... It would seem that with someone like you facing execution, that kind of conversion would not be real because it's just driven by fear to get out of something worse.
Yes.
But in your case, what I'm hearing, Pastor, is that you were at a point where you had seen hell itself all around you, and you really, truly were calling out to God from the pit.
Yes.
And you believe that God heard you.
Yes, and this time I was moving my pillow, and I find the Bible that my mother gave it a gift for me.
And how did that get there?
Because when I go to the army, she gave me a gift, and I didn't see her from 1 year and a half.
So a year and a half, this Bible has been sitting there unused.
Just under my pillow, and I didn't use it. It means nothing for me, but because that's like a gift for my mother. Okay. I keep it.
On this day, you did something different with that Bible.
Yes. I open the first page, and I read my mother prayer for me, and her wishes that she want me to serve God. And
So your mother actually wrote a prayer asking God to use you to serve Him.
And I open at Psalm 27, and I read my story. The Lord is my light, and He saved me, and you know the, and I was crying, and I give my heart to Jesus. And then they call me, Joseph, and I come, and the officer look at me about 40 minutes, just looking at me, and they taking my blood pressure and see if I am lying, and he told me, now share me how you did it and how much money you take.
So you're being put on a lie detector test and all this stuff at that time.
Yes.
And they're trying to prove you complicit in the murder of all your friends.
Yes. Then the first time I say I didn't do that because I'm a believer. The first time I say I'm a believer. And they told me, what meaning of believer? What do you mean? Said, I believe in God who protect me till now to stand in front of you. And then,
how long has it been since you prayed that prayer? I mean, we're talking about minutes, hours,
about
days?
About 20 or 30 minutes.
Okay, and half an hour after God has gotten a hold of your soul, you're standing before your judgment.
Yes, it's like very fast, you know.
Okay. And he looked
at
you
me.
Tell him that you're in God's hands.
Yes.
How did he respond to that?
He looked at me, God, you believe in God? Go out. Yeah. And he kicked me out, and the soldiers stopped me. And after 1 hour, he called me back again, bring Joseph. And I stand in front of him, and he looked at me and said, Joseph, I believe you are not guilty, and I release you.
Just like that?
Like that. So very easy, like nothing.
So God was moving somehow in his mind.
Yes, yes.
You walked free after an hour when you thought you were for sure going to be executed.
Yes. Just I pray and God saved me. I believe in that and God saved me and they set me free.
God saved you twice in one day.
Yes.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again when it's convenient for you just by opening up your favorite browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com.
Just a day away, but Lord, I trust you. The best and worst of days are yet to come. Be glorified regardless of the cost. Be magnified whether joy or loss. Lord, I trust you.
Selah with a song called Lord, I Trust You from their album Unbreakable. And we'll send you your very own copy of it today when you support this ministry financially. You can do that by going to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. Compassion Radio is here not just to teach the truth, but to provide you with opportunities to do the truth. That's why we've built and supported an orphanage in Hong Kong, provided beds for homeless children in India, counseled street kids in Hollywood, ministered to widows, carried Bibles into China and Vietnam, helped establish churches and provide Bibles in Indonesia, North Korea, and Southeast Asia, provided sight for the blind in Africa, aided refugees from Kosovo, and given tens of thousands of dollars to feed the hungry. Our goal is to teach the word clearly and accurately, always applying that word to building the kingdom. And we invite you to join our family as we learn together, witness together, and serve together. Please go to CompassionRadio.com today to find out more about this ministry. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
And half an hour after God has gotten a hold of your soul,
yes,
you're standing before your judgment.
Yes, it's like very fast, you know.
Okay. And he looked at me. You tell him that you're in God's hands.
Yes.
How did he respond to that?
He looked at me, God, you believe in God? Go out. Yeah. And he kicked me out, and the soldier stopped me. And after 1 hour, he called me back again, bring Joseph. And he I stand in front of him, and he looked at me and said, Joseph, I believe you are not guilty, and I release you.
Just like that?
Like that. It was very easy, like nothing.
So God was moving somehow in his mind.
Yes, yes.
You walked free after an hour when you thought you were for sure going to be executed.
Yes. Just I pray, and God saved me. I believe in that, and God saved me, and they set me free.
God saved you twice in one day.
Yes. And I start go to church, and I start, God changed me from special forces to special forces of his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I start stop the cars on the street and share them about the love of Jesus and give them Bible by force. Stop them. Jesus love you, don't go to hell.
Did you still have your gun at this point, or are you just going up there with
I suffer a lot after that. It's because it affect my attitude, affect my life. It take me years. Yeah. To receive my healing, and you know, I can't sleep at night. I wake at night screaming from the blood, smell of the blood. I still the smell in my nose. I suffer a lot. I have fear. I can't sleep without guns. Mm. Even I didn't use it, but I feel safe.
Yeah.
And also I serve God and I love God.
And so two things are going on simultaneously in you. I think it's what Paul talks about, the struggle within.
Yes.
That you've experienced a huge amount of trauma, and you've been part of causing trauma on others. So, as David would call it, the blood guilt, that you were feeling all that intensely. So what we would call post-traumatic stress disorder now is something that you were right in the middle of that whole time. Plus, you're being falsely accused.
Yes.
Plus, you're dealing with the guilt of losing all your friends.
Yes.
So when you say the healing came for you from God himself, what did the healing look like? What did God do in your heart that changed you from the place of hate and fear and hypervigilance to a place of peace?
First, I start to love myself.
And how did God help you love yourself?
Because I refused myself and I refused to live because what I passed, it was very hard. And when I accept Jesus as a Savior, I start to know my value in Jesus. Hmm. That how he saved me till this now. And a lot of people die in front of me, and he saved me. How much he loved me, and he gave me a chance to live more, to serve him. And this is make me to start to forgive myself first. And then I start love my friends who are, you know, when the war finish and start all the roads open and build again the government, and they bring Islam together and Christian. I start love these people, even I don't know them. I start love them, but still something in me and against. I am There's a blocks between me. I love them, but there's a blocks between me and between my
still
friends.
Still something holding you back from really loving them.
Yes, because I fight a lot about it. I see a lot bad of things.
And you grew up in a time, as you say, with all these different militias that your next-door neighbor or someone in your own building might want to kill you.
Yes.
And that's how fractured this nation had become. So this spirit of discord, this spirit of Abaddon, of destruction, was ripping Lebanon to pieces at the time.
Yeah.
And God is restoring you piece by piece.
Yes.
But you say only so far. In your mind, you can admit that you are able and willing to forgive others for their sins. But there's something about you that is still resisting that kind of forgiveness being expressed through you to others.
Yes, yes.
So what did God do to break through that?
God start to make the call more deep in me. Mm. And he pushed me to go out of the streets and evangelism.
Go out of the
streets
and
evangelism.
So you're going to be an evangelist on the streets and with all people.
That means I need to meet all kinds of religions. And the first place God sent me is Islam area.
Hmm.
And I start with the Muslims building, knock the doors and share them the gospel. It was very hard for me.
I bet it was.
Very hard. I knocked the door and they opened for me, said, I have a gift for you. Say, what gift? Say, this is the Bible, the word of God. And I shocked that they take the Bible and they kiss it and put it on their head. And they invite me, please come inside.
Interesting. Now, this is a heavy symbology here. They take something, they receive it to their head. It's literally saying, I come under this thing.
Yes.
So they're accepting the Injil as being a true book.
Yes. And they was very respectful. And I was expecting they kick us or beat us. They was very, very, very friendly. Start the image, God changing the image in my eyes. And one time I was visiting also Christian areas. I'd knock the doors and share the gospel. And one time I knock a door and there's a man open the door for me. Say, hi, I said, I have a gift for you, a Bible from the church, and Jesus love you. Hmm. And told me, Jesus love me? He's a Christian, he's a Catholic. Hmm. Said, yes, he loves you. Said, are you sure? Said, yes, wow. I am sure he loves you because he saved me. And then said, please come in. He invited me and said, if you heal my daughter, I will believe in Jesus and I will give my life.
Okay, so this man you just met is putting a condition on you and a condition on God himself.
Yes.
Related to his daughter.
Because she have a small daughter, about 5 or 6 years. She have a kidney disease and she is dying.
And so she doesn't have much long to live then.
Yes, he put me in a very hard situation. I don't know.
I imagine so.
And then I go to her room and I pray what I know.
We'll hear more of Bram's conversation next time on Compassion Radio. If you missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up your favorite browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, you can check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And go ahead and sign up for our email updates while you're at it. Oh, and if you have a minute, go ahead and take our partner survey. This is a great way for us to learn how to better serve you. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, I'd like to ask you to consider three things. First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. And second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the exciting reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? We're 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Today when you give, we'll send you a copy of the latest CD from gospel vocal trio Selah called Unbreakable as our way of saying thanks. To support Compassion Radio today, you can call 800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. When you're there, just click on the top right mini menu icon and then click Donate. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Thanks a lot. Here's Bram with a closing word.
Hi, friends. I'm in Beirut this week, following some of the most inspiring people you'll ever meet, as they do incredible work. The gospel is going out with power here and redeeming people in amazing ways. In turn, they've been introducing me to the beautiful people that God has placed in front of them. Make sure to spend a few minutes at the Compassion Radio Facebook page to see some pictures and videos of these wonderful folks. I want to bring you these stories and interviews so that your faith will expand and burst forth with joy and powerful authority. That is our calling. Will you help us keep doing this very thing? Will you help us stay on the air and in the field, bringing you good news stories each and every day? We can't do it without your prayer and support, friends, and right now we need both. God has always inspired our Compassion Radio family to give in exactly the measure needed, and I'm counting on the fact that this is still just as true today. When you give, I know that God will be pleased, and the world will hear how much you love them. So let us hear from you today.
Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.